Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's the career distillation of five-time Grammy Award winner Robert Cray into four nights of 40 years.
She can have the house. Yes, I showed her, yeah, yeah. Guess that I showed her. Oh, she was right next door, and I'm such a strong persuader. She was just another notch on my guitar. She's gonna lose the man that really loves her. And in the silence, I can hear their breaking hearts.
Well, my father was in the army. And we moved, it seemed like every 2.5 to 3 years.
I know just why to cut you with, still not smoking gun.
When we go back and think about the music that was on the album Strong Persuader, where's the blues? You know? That album had a lot of R&B on it, really, and it had, you know, touches of rock and roll, but there's not a straight ahead blues tune on that record. Well, the idea was to put a package together to celebrate 40 years of being a band. Hi, this is Robert Cray in the studio with Four Nights of 40 Years.
When American music legend Steve Miller, then living in the mid-80s in Seattle, returned to his Dallas hometown for the Thanksgiving holiday, I inquired as to Miller's opinion on an up-and-coming young neighbor of his named Robert Cray. Steve Miller replied without equivocation, quote, Robert Cray is the most important blues songwriter since Jimi Hendrix. Ooh. Coming from Steve Miller, I went out the next day and bought every Robert Cray album in the store. Ask any of Robert Cray's biggest fans, who include Eric Clapton, Bonnie Raitt, Buddy Guy, and Jimmy Vaughn, and they all agree on how Cray is the total package. Movie star handsome, reserved demeanor, soulful voice, with a stinging guitar style that is much more Steve Cropper than Stevie Ray. But it's those songs, which Steve Miller correctly identified, that keep adding to the Grammy Awards on Robert Cray's mantle. At the time Robert and I first met and worked together, Cray and his tight band were kicking at 300 nights a year, a torrid pace that takes Olympian stamina. Robert Cray reveals what the appeal is for spending the better part of the last 40 years on the road.
The stage is the place that you wait for to get to all day. The stage is a place where you can just let it all go and have fun, you know? It's a challenge that I like to put myself in, you know, every night. We're doing about 120 gigs, somewhere around there. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, back in the club days, there were more than that. The audience played a big part of it, and that was the reason why we chose to play in different venues, you know, so that the band could play in these different situations where we have to play to, you know, those type of venues, you know, like the theater or the smaller, you know, like bar and you know how funky and hot and sweaty a bar can get. And it was like that at the Belly Up and with people at your feet, you know, with beer between your toes, you know, that kind of thing. It's a whole different thing than, you know, sitting in the theater where it's more, you know, prim and proper and you're on display. When you're in those different type of venues, you play a little bit differently. Or those rooms give you a different sound and a different option. Like playing in the theater, it's great for playing the slow songs, straight ahead, you know, ballads or something like that, where you can hear a pin drop. And that challenge is, you know, it just opens your senses up. You know, you can hear everything. And so everything means everything. And in a club, the people are having a good time and dancing and you're sweating and that sweat's dripping down into your eyes and you're shaking your head and you're rocking and that's a whole different feel, you know. And in the rehearsal studio, it's a little bit different. You're learning the tunes and so that presents a whole different feel of what the band is doing. You're in the rehearsal space and that's the reason why we give those four different, you know, feels of what the band sounds like in four different situations.
You use me to get you anything you want. Oh, but I'm a changed man.
If I go through those same things again, I'll be worse off than I started. Such a bad influence. Baby, you got ways to make me do what you want. Oh, you're such a bad influence. I've got to stay away. I've been hurt. It's from you, pretty baby, that I've just got to stay away from. I won't go through those same things again. I'm so glad that we've parted. I know you're such a bad influence. Baby, you've got ways to make me do what you want. Oh, you're such a bad influence. I've got to stay away.
Influence in 1983 was the Robert Cray album, which started receiving a smattering of positive critical reviews. The early consensus was that the young blues man based in America's Pacific Northwest was neither worshiping the musical traditions of the south end of the Mississippi Delta nor the south side of Chicago. 1985's False Accusations had moderate success in the UK, but the writers there did only slightly better in describing Robert Cray's tightly arranged songs crafted in the fine tradition of true rhythm and blues or soul music. I asked Robert Cray to define the difference between blues and rhythm and blues.
So you ask me that question, huh? Well, you know, it's hard to put a finger on it, but you know, I some of the people who I think are the purveyors of that sound, so to speak, are people like Bobby Blue Bland and Little Milton Campbell, Junior Parker, and Etta James, who put that kind of the spirit of both blues and soul into it and call it rhythm and blues. As far as like musicians are concerned, I don't think it makes a difference. I know it doesn't make any difference. You know, you play what you like. And they can call it what they want it, you know, what they want to. You know, when people are playing and writing, you know, their music, I mean, you're not thinking about that kind of thing. You're thinking about getting a message or, you know, a point across in your the music that you're singing and playing, and that's all that matters. I mean, I guess to convey, you know, whatever the singer or performer is doing to others is the reason why, you know, people have to, first of all, put a label on it and then try to describe it to others. So that's, you know, that's the only reason. And but the problem is that, you know, then it gives a label to the musicians who are playing and singing the music. And if you pay attention to that as a musician, then you kind of, you can mess yourself up.
I guess that I showed her.
Chugging like a freight train with Robert Cray at the controls, I Guess I Showed Her is clearly no blues song. Originally on the 1986 album Strong Persuader, this version comes from the rehearsal on Robert Cray's Four Nights of 40 Years. Robert Cray grew up on U.S. military bases and even lived on one in Germany.
Well, my father was in the Army, and we moved, it seemed like, every 2.5 to 3 years. Yeah, I'm not an outgoing person. Basically, I'm an introvert. I spend a lot of time, you know, to myself, and when I'm on stage, it's a whole different thing. But then after that, I go back to being myself. talking about being the new kid all the time. My parents at that particular time, you know, we bought records at the PX, you know, all the time. And so, and we had a nice Grundig stereo and all that stuff. So, you know, we the music was good. And so that was great. And we listened to a lot of music because we couldn't understand, the language, you know. So that was great. One of the things that was great is that, you know, when we were going to school, you and I, it was like, you know, high school days were the late 60s. The music was the thing that was a great bonding agent, so to speak, you know. Soaked a lot of that stuff in. But in the late 60s and in school, you know, playing guitar, I mean, you know, there was mutual friendships because of the guitar, you know. And so that was great. And Jimi Hendrix was out, so everybody wanted to play, you know.
I could hear the couple fighting right next door. Their angry words sound clear through the walls. Around midnight I heard them shout, "Unfaithful one." And I knew right then the axe was gonna fall. It's because of me. It's because of me. I heard him shout, "Who is he?" She mumbled low. He said, "Baby, don't you lie to me no more." And listening through these thin walls in silent shame, as she called out my name, I was right next door. It's because of me. It's because of me. Because of me. It's because of me. Oh, she was right next door, and I'm such a strong persuader that she was just another notch on my guitar. She's gonna lose the man that really loves her. In the silence I can hear their breaking hearts. Oh. Say goodbye. I can hear him slam the door and walk away. Right next door, I hear that woman start to cry. And I should go to her, but what would I say? It's because of me. It's because of me. Because of me. Such a strong persuader. She was just another notch on my guitar. She's gonna lose the man that really loves her. In the silence I can hear the breaking hearts. And oh, she was right next door, and I'm such a strong persuader. She was just another notch on my guitar. She's gonna lose the man that really loves her. And in the silence I can hear their breaking hearts, yeah. Oh,
right next door because of me is just one of the many stellar songs and performances which appeared originally in 1986 on Robert Cray's Strong Persuader album. This performance is included on Robert Cray's Four Nights of 40 Years, a double CD set, plus DVD or Blu-ray of live concert footage, more interviews, and testimonials from Robert Cray's biggest fans, including Eric Clapton and Buddy Guy. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Robert Cray.
Hi, this is Robert Cray in the studio with Four Nights of 40 Years.
And I'm Redbeard. Robert Cray got his first brush with greatness and his first professional opportunity from electric blues guitar great Albert Collins. But it all went down in a rather unconventional way. Here's Robert Cray with the story in the studio.
It was in Tacoma, Washington. In the late 60s, you know, Albert had been, he'd come out to the West Coast, and he was playing up and down the coast. He had a trio. He played one of the rock festivals in the late 60s. I think it was Satsup or Sky River, one of them up there in the Northwest. And it wasn't just me, but there were a lot of the students who were of, you know, my class attending, you know, these festivals and whatnot. Our class had the opportunity to vote for either Albert Collins, I don't know how it came up, either Albert Collins or a group, and I'm trying to remember their name, and I'm sorry I don't remember their name off the top of my head, but they had a top 40 song called Evil Woman. It went, "Evil woman, don't play those games with me." Crow, yeah, Crow. And so that song was big on the radio, but our class voted for Albert Collins. And it was not me, it was our class. So Albert played our graduation party, and of course he walked out through the crowd with his guitar cord, and here we are, 17, and swarming around Albert Collins out there with us, you know. And then after the, you know, show was over, I remember I walked up to him and I told him how much I dug this show. He says, "Young man, you play guitar?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, keep it up."
Everyone, so afraid I'm gonna find you with so-called smoking gun. Maybe you wanna end it. I've had your feel of my kind of fun. Don't know how to tell me, you know that I'm not that dumb. It's not an even song. I know just what to cut you with. Still have smoking gun. Remember just what I've done. I can hear the sirens flashing want to learn. Feel how it's smoking run.
Never getting higher on the sales chart as number 141 for a week or so, the Robert Cray song Smoking Gun from the 1986 Strong Persuader album blew up the Billboard singles chart to number 22 in the U.S., catapulting the Strong Persuader album even higher, peaking at number 13 sales. That's over 2 million copies. When that second stage booster rocket of national radio airplay kicked in, suddenly Robert Cray had gone from zero to orbital speed.
Going back to it, it was all a blur, you know? Things were happening so fast, and before that record had come out, we didn't think we could work any harder because we had already, you know, toured extensively, you know, in Europe and Japan and other places, you know? And then when Strong Persuader came out, it was nuts. It felt great. It was something that we never expected with the kind of music that we do. You know, with the exception of, you know, certain people, you know, certain stars who still support us these days, we kind of felt a little bit awkward for the type of music that we did. They had us in the studio pretty quickly to do Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Yeah, we were in there quite quickly, you know, and I don't think that we were ready. But, you know, that's the nature of the game. They, at that particular time, I think they wait a lot longer these days, you know, to get somebody to do their second record. I mean, they could wait like, you know, 2 or 3 years as opposed to less than 18 months as was the case for us. When we go back and think about the music that was on the album, Strong Persuader, where's the blues? You know, that album had a lot of R&B on it, really, and it had, you know, touches of rock and roll, but there's not a straight ahead blues tune on that record. There was a weird combination of people wanting us to change and people who said we should do what we do. It's funny because, like, management was saying, you know, your songs all sound the same. Well, amongst ourselves in the band, we call that style. And then there were people at the record company, you know, who were saying that, you know, hey, you should do such and such song, you know, that was a hit for such and such big band. And you put these background singers on it and all that stuff. And, you know, you can get a hit with somebody else's hit. And we go, no. And then they got the president of the record company at the particular time saying, Robert, you should produce your own self because you know what you want to do. And so that's why we stayed with the major company for the time that we did, and I produced some of the records myself. We just did what, you know, we were just doing what we wanted to do. And, you know, you have people saying this and people saying that. And if you don't have your feet planted, I mean, the world can fall from under you.
Wasn't that long ago? About a guy who turned out to be a cheater, got the heater. So the story goes, he tried to play one thing.
his friends he was king, 'cause he thought of everything except his number one. She had the kids and the house, he was always out leaving his home. Then one day his luck ran out when number two found a number at your car in the house. Word on the street is that they talked all night. They had to teach him a lesson. They had to make things right.
Reggae-inflected soul cautionary tale of two-timing poor Johnny comes from the Four Nights of 40 Years, still to come. But Robert Cray's re-entry from Strong Persuader, being named number 42 on Rolling Stone magazine's 100 Greatest Albums of the 80s, proved to be just as challenging as breaking through. Find us on Facebook at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with the best of Robert Cray.
Hey, neighbor, now is the perfect time to tackle your next painting project with help from your neighborhood ace. For 4 days only this Labor Day weekend, it's buy two, get one free on gallons of Valspar, Clark & Kensington, and Royal. Available at ace. Offer valid September 4th through 7th. Limit 2 free gallons per household of equal or lesser value. Prices may vary. While supplies last, store stock only. See participating store for details. Getting help at the paint studio at ace is like going to your neighbor.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
At TIAA Cref, our record sounds like a broken record. We got impressive results in 2013. And 2014? Same thing. We're like, hey, weren't we just here? Then 2015, boom! More impressive results. That's the kind of record you'd expect from a company that's created to serve and built to perform. Intelligent investing, powerful results. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA Cref Individual and Institutional Services, LLC. Investing involves risk.
With a Sam's Club membership, you get incredible savings every time you shop. Now's your chance to see what it means to save like a member. Hurry into Sam's Club and get a free 60-day trial membership pass. Shop and save on great brands for your home, fresh produce, and USDA Grade A meats. You'll even get a savings book with over $5,000 in additional savings. Don't miss out on a free Sam's Club 60-day trial membership pass. Join and save. Sam's Club. Life is better when you're in the club. See club for details.
Wendy's presents Fred in Looking Up.
Oh, boy.
Great. The elevator's stuck.
I love when the elevator's stuck.
What's gotten into you?
Oh, just this honest tropical green tea from Wendy's. Mmm. Changes your whole perspective.
Okay, you do know we're trapped, though, right?
On a tropical island.
With no lights.
On a starry night.
Need a sip-me-up? Only Wendy's has new Honest Tropical Green Tea. Organic, lightly sweetened, and hints of mango and pineapple flavors.
Now that's better.
At participating Wendy's.
Hi, this is Robert Cray in the studio with Redbeard.
Thank you, buddy. Robert Cray's recording career paralleled Texas blues guitarist Stevie Ray Vaughan's rapid rise to stardom throughout the 80s. So I asked Robert if Vaughan's popularity was competition or beneficial in some way.
It helped. Why? It helped everybody. The T-Birds were getting recognition from Stevie being around, and so, you know, once one record company gets their blues guitar player, they all want it. It's the same thing that goes on now with in the industry, you know. And at that particular time, though, you know, rock radio was playing more rootsy music. That's why you had the Blasters out at that time. You had Los Lobos coming into the scene. And like I mentioned, you know, the T-Birds, Fabulous Thunderbirds, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. There was more roots music being played. And MTV was in its infancy. And they wanted material. And so everybody was making videos as well.
As your car pulls out the driveway, she don't wave goodbye. And last words echo in my mind. Listen, honey, I've got to get away. Standing here watching her taillights as if there's some kind of sign. Fading into a memory that just got tired of trying. So long, I hate to see you go, but I'll save my tears for later on down the road. How come I keep on holding on, knowing that you won't be coming home, no. You won't be coming home. Two days later, I get a letter, a picture of a room in some hotel, sitting framed up on the table is a picture that I know quite well. You painted yourself into a corner. Now
Now you're trying to paint something new. And your lipstick on the letter is a goodbye kiss from you. Hey, baby, so long. You know I hate to see you go, but I'll save my tears for later on down the road. How come I keep on holding on, knowing that you won't be coming home? No. I still set the table, still set it for you and me. It's become a habit, my own personal make-believe. You won't be coming home. So long, I hate to see you go, but I'll save my tears for later on down the road. How come I keep on holding on, knowing that you won't be coming home? No. You won't be coming home, no.
Performance of Robert Cray's Won't Be Coming Home appears on Four Nights of 40 Years. Cray reeled off four complete studio albums in rapid succession after Strong Persuader, but by 1993's Shame and a Sin, the reception by U.S. rock radio was curiously tepid.
It was a totally different situation, but the overall situation had changed. The music, you know, that was being played on the radio had changed immensely, you know. No, we didn't change because the music around us changed. And when we started the band, we had, you know, we were going to play the kind of music that we still play today. Blues, soul, everything that, you know, we love listening to. We just like you, all the rest of the guys in the band, we grew up listening to the music that, you know, that was on the radio at that particular time, or the music and the music that our parents played. So, you know, we know about Ray Charles, and we know about B.B. King, and we know about James Brown, and we know about Jimi Hendrix, and we know about the Beatles, Memphis and Chicago and Philadelphia, and I knew about the Pacific Northwest Sonics and all that stuff, you know, the Wailers and Paul Revere and the Raiders, and we heard everything. What we decided to do is play the music that we wanted to play, and we weren't going to change that because the music included everything. You know, in our own way. And so in 93, when we came in and the music had changed, I mean, it wasn't weird to us. It was something that we knew was part of the music business. Everything changes, you know, but we were going to stay who we were.
The choice to present his best of four decades in a live recording is a tried and true as Frampton Comes Alive or James Brown Live at the Apollo. But Robert Cray knows that his sixth man that comes in fresh off the bench night after night is his audience.
Yeah, they are a huge factor because, like you just said, you know, there's a big difference between sound check. Sometimes I wonder why we even do them. You know, you have a crew that you've worked with for, you know, for forever, you know, and they can just, you know, go in and, you know, tune the room, and that's it. Because as soon as you hit the stage, when the audience is there, I mean, the adrenaline level is so high that, you know, like you said, you're 10 times louder than sound check anyway. So to recording a band, it's great because it is a simple thing, and especially if you have a band who listen and work together, you know, because they're the ones that are creating the soft spots and the high points and everything like that. They're using, just playing with the sound, dropping it down and playing the quiet spots and leaving things out and, you know, rocking when you need to. All within one tune. You know.
I get the blues in the morning and so bad I scare myself. You know my hair is turning gray so fast till I'm worried about my health. Shiver all over, shiver all over, shiver all over, 'cause I ain't got you. You know that I'm burning with a fever. Stomach's twisted up in knots. My blood pressure is running up so high till I know it's gonna stop my heart. Shiver all over, shiver all over, I shiver all over, 'cause I ain't. All over my body, and I'm wearing shades 'cause my eyes are red. I've got a headache that just won't go away. It's a wonder that I'm not dead.
You can show you the whole lot of this morning.
Robert Cray's career-spanning Four Nights of 40 Years Live is available now as a double CD set with DVD or Blu-ray, featuring 90 minutes of classic Cray live concert footage, alongside in-depth interviews with Robert, testimonials from legends Eric Clapton, Buddy Guy, and more. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guest, Robert Cray. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2015, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brunet, theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter, @RedbeardRocks, and online at inthestudio.net.